I'm joined in studio today by Dr. Duncan McKinley. He's here to discuss Tourette syndrome, a neurological disorder that for some can be extremely emotionally stressful because they suffer from a disorder that many still don't understand. Dr. McKinley, your story is so special and uplifting because you've risen above your disorder and you're a successful doctor. You're proof that there is life despite TS. Is that the message you try to convey in your presentations? Because I know you speak at schools and in your literature as well.
Usually, somewhat. The message that I give is not only can you succeed in spite of some of the negative aspects of Tourette's, but you can also succeed because of certain aspects that Tourette's or a disorder can give you. Not just, you know, persevering and learning positives out of the negatives that you experience, but there are certain positive aspects that this disorder gives you just as inherently as it gives you tics or obsessions or impulsive behaviors or rage problems. For example, there's a lot of people, a lot of very famous people in history that are either diagnosed or suspected to have had Tourette syndrome or some of these other disinhibiting type of disorders. People that have been incredibly good at sports, really fast reflexes that have had Tourette's. People that have been incredibly smart and come up with major theories of physics and things that have guided our thinking for the last 100 years. In terms of quick sense of humor, being very creative musically or in terms of writing, there's a lot of aspects that we don't often associate with a condition like Tourette's because we're so busy lamenting the negative,
right,
and we're trying to hide the negative and we're putting so much energy into that. Often the person with the disorder themselves doesn't even recognize the positives until someone points them out to them that this is as much due to their neurology as the negatives were.
Now, TS normally develops in young people, children and teens. Walk us through a day in the life of a young person who might be suffering from TS.
Well, I was diagnosed on a bit of a generational cusp where people older than me, when they were diagnosed, were a lot older than me, and people that are diagnosed and are younger than me now are usually a lot younger than me. And so my experiences may not exactly mirror those that other kids have had, but because kids often are diagnosed a lot quicker now. But if you're not diagnosed early on, if you don't know what's happening very early on, that can be very damaging. In fact, having been diagnosed now for 10 years and spending 19 years not diagnosed, I think when I look back on everything, I think I can sum everything up by saying not knowing what was going on was far more damaging than the symptoms ever could be.
Mm-hmm.
And not just damaging to me, but damaging to my relationships with other people. You know, my parents didn't know what was happening, and they just thought I was being a histrionic, melodramatic brat, and I thought they were awful people for not understanding me, and difficulty with friends.
Was it difficult for you? Did you have a hard time at school? And family situation?
Definitely. I suppressed my symptoms a lot. And that's the other interesting thing about Tourette's, that what's involuntary isn't necessarily the tick itself, but it's the urge to tick.
Mm-hmm.
So just as you scratch in response to an itch, we tick in response to what's called a premonitory urge to tick. And while you can hold it in, it's very hard to do so. And it's like being covered with mosquito bites and holding your breath all for 8 hours, not giving in to the temptation. So it's distracting, you don't do as well at school, you're more irritated, you're very anxious, obviously, because you're at war with yourself, and it's a quiet little war that no one knows about, and you're, at any time anyone reacts to you, you're afraid, did they just notice a tick? And if a tick does slip out, usually the response is so extreme,
mm-hmm,
because people don't understand what's going on, they think you're just goofing around,
then
you think, well, I'm certainly not going to show any more. They're going to lock me up and throw away the key. You know, it can result in explosions of frustration when you're trying so hard to do well and it's coming off miserably because you don't have the energy to keep up this facade all day, and people don't appreciate, obviously, how much effort you're putting in because you're not telling them what's actually going on because you're scared to tell them what's going on. I could spend hours talking about just what goes on, but yeah, certainly it's not that surprising that a lot of people with these disorders also get diagnosed with depression,
mm-hmm,
and mood disorders because they're really putting up with a lot.
So there could be young people out there who are, like a young child who's in their class right now, and, you know, their teacher might not understand why they might be acting out, or their parent might not understand what they could think that they're just faking it, or they're just trying to mm-hmm. draw attention to themselves.
Right, absolutely. And not because they're a mean teacher, or the kids in school are mean, or the parents are mm-hmm. mean, but just because everyone, in a sense, is a victim of ignorance. No one knows what's happening. And when I do my presentations, I often have teachers coming up to me afterwards with tears in their eyes, saying, "Well, I feel so awful about the assumptions I've been making about this child." And again, it's not that they're an evil person. They just, more information was needed, which is why a venue like this is phenomenal. And I really appreciate the invitation to come in and talk about it.
No, we're trying to help. Now, what can parents do if they suspect their child is suffering from TS? Or,
well, because a lot of professionals out there are still becoming familiar with the disorder, it really helps if you're proactive as a parent and come in armed with as much information as possible. So learn about the disorder yourself, and also keep a logbook. Write down what movements or noises your child's making, when they're making them, how long they've been making them, how frequently, if there seems to be situations that increase or decrease the symptoms. If you have an opportunity to tape your child, either videotaping or audio to so the doctor can see these symptoms, that's important. Oftentimes, kids, when they go into the doctor's office, don't tick at all. Mm-hmm. It's like a deer in headlights, and the parent gets prescribed an antipsychotic for being delusional and hallucinating. But you know, you've wasted a year waiting for that appointment. And so, the more information you can go in to show, no, this isn't just in my head. This is something my child's suffering from. The more apt you're going to get quicker results in terms of a diagnosis. Pediatricians, neurologists, psychiatrists are all medical doctors that you can approach in terms of being diagnosed. The advantage to that is that it's covered by OHIP. The disadvantage is it takes longer. Oftentimes the waiting lists are quite formidable.
Right.
The other direction you can go is to go to a psychologist to be diagnosed. The upshot to that is usually if you get a private assessment, you can get it quicker. But if you don't have insurance through your work, then it's not covered by OHIP. So the advantages and disadvantages mm-hmm. but, to going either direction. But there's a number of options available at least.
Is there a cure?
Nope. There's various medications that are tried with varying degrees of success. It's a bit of a shotgun approach right now. They sort of fire the brain with all this medicinal shrapnel and hope something good comes out of it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different medications that are tried because there's not a tailor-made one for Tourette's. Plus, there's so many associated things going on that you may want to medicate as well. The number of psychological techniques can be used, cognitive behavioral techniques, something called habit reversal training, exposure response prevention. These can be just as, if not more, successful than medications. Just in terms of plain support and counseling and therapy for the depression and the side effects of just living day to day with a difference is important too. Making sure that there's a lot of advocacy in the schools, going to presentations, watching videos, reading
right.
books.
Informing so you just, yourself. Yeah, there are a lot of options out there.
Yeah, so I think there's no magic bullet,
right.
But there's a lot of little things you can do. Joining the Tretton and Foundation of Canada, for example, they have a lot of information they can offer in terms of face-to-face support and information, and also books and movies and
right.
in-services. I mean, but by picking away at a lot of different edges, you can make a big difference and go from victim
mm-hmm.
to victory.
Mm-hmm. Now, finally, Dr. McKinley, how do people get in touch with you?
Oh, with myself? I have a website. It's called Life the Twitch. And you can go to lifethetwitch.com mm-hmm. and through there learn a little bit more about the work that I do. I mentioned the Tourette Syndrome Foundation as well. Their website is tourette.ca. And that if people are interested in becoming a member with that organization, that's how they can go about that.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Dr. McKinley, I'd like to thank you for joining me today to talk about Tourette Syndrome. I hope we made someone out there who may be suffering from the disorder know that they're not alone, and there are people and associations out there that can help.
You're tuned in to Reality Check on Flow 93.5.